Hello! Today's episode is a very fun one.
Yeah, are you ready for more hijinks and shenanigans?
With one of our skate gang sisters.
Oh, that's right. They are a comedian and an actor and like all of a sudden catapulted into huge superstardom.
I mean, everyone says all of a sudden, but it's like she's been working in the industry for years.
Right,
it just finally paid off all at once,
very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. So Lacey Mosley is with us on the show,
and we love Miss Lacey. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Scams.
She is the scam goddess.
We talk about working in the industry. We talk about racism. We talk about massages.
We talk about iCarly. We didn't even ask a single question about her co-star, Miranda Crossgrove.
Oh, and the memes, honey. The Miranda
memes.
All right. Bye.
Enjoy.
Forever. Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Our number is 213-853-6-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks? I'm Big Dipper and that's Meatball.
No,
and welcome back to Sloppy Second with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball and that's Big Dipper.
There you go. You took a lot of liberties with musical rests there. You said 213-536-9180. You really jumped the beat.
Well, I heard that it's very popular now to be offbeat.
Yeah, Blueface.
I feel like that's a very popular thing. Okay, well, before we start, I want to introduce our special guest.
Uh-huh.
They are an actor, a comedian, mm-hmm. a podcast host, a roller skating diva. It is Lacey Mosley!
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Also, can we just talk about how Meatball, like, you just introduced me and you didn't use feminine pronouns and it was actually really cool.
Oh, I didn't?
You said they aren't, and I was like, oh, we could just all do that.
we could, but then some people get offended.
You think people get offended if you do they? I feel like they is the catch-all for everyone,
yes,
right?
I agree. They is the catch-all. How do you feel about actor versus actress? Because some people really like to say actress if they use she and her pronouns.
Oh, no, I like actor because actress is gender neutral.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoy that as well.
I tell people that all the time.
How is your summer going?
Where are we going this summer?
It's good. It's cute. Look, skies out, thighs out. I don't know who I am now. After the pandemic, and it's not after, we're still in this shit. Now we got Delta, Lambda, goddamn fraternity variants, you know? Alpha, Kappa, Alpha, Gamma, Gamma, Beta.
What's the climate change rhyme for skies out, thighs out? Like haze out. You know, like wildfire haze covers the skies. I'm about to show off these thighs. Something like that for the summer?
Oh.
No, we all about to die. Oh,
okay. We all about to die.
Oh my God.
Wow, existential dread, but make it fashion.
Listen, here it is. Make it fashion.
I usually listen to a little news roundup podcast every morning, and I was traveling last week and I just sort of like let that skip my mind, and then I caught up on two of them this morning and I was like, oh yes, this always put a cherry on my day, listening to climate change and awful politics and just Jesus.
Let's start the podcast down. That's what I love to do.
The best
let's
part
talk
of
about
waking
climate
up.
Change. Let's talk about how everything's dying. Real good
up.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. Let's,
sadness
let's build
in
up.
Your cup. Can we get into that pause, that musical pause where like Meatball did where there was something in between the phone number?
The sadness in the cup.
Yeah, well, yes, it's sad. But also We're wrapping off rhythm now. That's what we're doing. That's what we're all doing.
I've been doing that for years.
There's a guy who does it really well. Oh my God, I can't think of his name. But he's the one who like has a bunch of viral TikToks that are like, I'ma beat the pussy up, I'm a coochie monster. Like, who is that guy?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Dang
I've seen people duet his TikToks.
He is a genius. He literally just gets on the beat and talks like this. And it doesn't matter what the beat is. And it's fantastic.
We have to find him.
So, but Lacey, we have some very specific lines of questioning that we're going to get into here. Number one, your birthday falls on what a lot of people consider a holiday, but it is a holiday that is that you have co-opted for yourself, 4th of Julacy. Yes. Which I absolutely love, because what better to celebrate on that date than you? How was your 4th of Julacy this year?
I've had that hashtag for like 6 years. It's absolutely insane. It was fun. It was like my wedding. I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get married, so I'm just going to throw myself a wedding real quick and have a wedding weekend and fly like my closest friends and family out and stay at a mansion and have a catered dinner and a yacht party that turned into a scam with a sweaty ass motherfucker named Pablo who robbed me. And
what?
And then we threw a party on Sunday. It was cute. Yes.
And you know, you should know a scam when you see it. You should see it coming. So what happened?
I was busy. I had a party planner and my wonderful assistant. So I was kind of hands off on certain things. Like, they would go take tours of like where we were staying or where the party was going to be. And they just put me on FaceTime. Like, so with the boat situation, I was working. I didn't know until the day of, me and all my friends. And bro, it was so embarrassing because I thought I was about to have a P. Diddy white party moment. I was like, y'all wear white. I'm going to wear blue and white in the photo. So I pop because I'm the bride. Bro, when I tell you we were waiting for Pablo in Marina Del Rey on the curb, I got all my friends in white, and most of my friends are black, and my friend Anthony was like, why you got us out here on the corner looking like slaves on Easter Sunday?
Oh no! Oh no!
Sweaty ass Pablo had us waiting there for like 45 minutes, and we saw people across the street from us, a big group of people who happened to also like be white, also be white. Depending on where I go, I am white sometimes.
Okay, so, absolutely. Same. I switch it up.
Right.
I keep them guessing.
So I was, right, you got to keep the tricks guessing. So I looked and I was like, well, if they're over here, maybe this isn't as odd as I think it is. Because I'm used to just going to the marina and getting on the yacht. I don't know nothing about waiting and like what's
waiting
going on.
Waiting on the curb.
Oh,
they're
no.
Like, meet me at this intersection. And you're like, sir, you have a boat. Why
are you going to pull up? You're going to land rover it?
Somewhere.
Right.
That didn't tip you off, Lacey?
No, what tipped me off was this. I overheard my assistant on the phone with Pablo because he was saying, like, you know, it's holiday weekend. He running late and shit. And he's, like, coming physically over to walk us to the dock, I guess. And she said, oh, you're walking right now? He said, yeah. And she's like, oh, do you have your pirate hat on? And I was like, first of all, as like my assistant, why are you so comfortable with this? This man be wearing pirate hats and you just sit there like, that's not
oh,
bizarre.
No.
And then why you got a pirate hat on?
Wait, so was he wearing a pirate hat? Did he show up? What was the scam?
He showed up carrying one of them wagons. You know them wagons that the flyer, radio flyer,
oh,
you
no.
know, as a kid. He had one of them wagons. and he was so sweaty. Like, when I tell you, so wet. I'm going to find a picture so that y'all can see. I took photos because I was like, I need people to know that I'm not lying. He was sweaty for like 5 hours. I've never seen somebody maintain that level
that's
of perspiration.
We don't need to hang out.
We know what that is.
You've
been roller skating with me. You've seen someone that sweaty.
We do. We just hide it with clothes. Okay.
Yeah, so I got robbed a little bit. But I was like, you know what? It's only fair that I get scammed.
What was the scam? Was it just not a good boat? Or was it that he was late?
Was it up to your standards? Or you don't like sweat?
All
of
those things.
Against pirates?
Everything you're saying. So they told me because the boat was big. It actually, the photos of it, the boat was huge and really cute in the photos, but it was old. So when I actually got on that bitch, I saw that it was old. I went downstairs at one point. It smelled like ass. It was like...
Okay, I got you.
Okay. Now, I had a very similar experience for one of my friend's birthdays in Marina Del Rey, where the guy was like late. And then we went, and then once we got on the boat, it was supposed to have all these amenities, and, like, it was supposed to have, like, an open, like, a bar and stuff. Luckily, we brought our own alcohol and stuff, but there was no bar, no food. The bathroom on the boat was broken, so we couldn't even go downstairs to use it. And the top floor was supposed to have all these beanbags and shit on it, and it was just carpeted. So it didn't even match the pictures.
Yo, I feel like we might have had the same experience.
It might have been the same guy.
Except for, I had 15 people, and they told me that 12 people was allowed on the water for commercial rentals. So anything above that, they were like, you know, the Coast Guards and people will get mad at us, they'll find us or whatever. That don't make no sense to me, because I just know how LA works, and you can do anything you want with money, like, so
is the Coast Guard gonna come by and start counting? Like, just hide people in the bathroom.
Bro, one in, one out of the basement. They're like, you have to stay down here for 30 minutes while we
when
go upstairs.
I tell you, Pablo did the middle passage to us. He told us we were gonna take one boat to get to our boat. We get on this tin can boat with the other group of white people who was across the street. We all get on the same boat. We all get on the same tin can boat. And they're like, we're going to drop y'all off first. We are driving around for like an hour and a half on the water. They see the Coast Guard, whose boat does look like a police boat, but on water. And they're like, oh, we got to go this way. And so they're like orbiting the Coast Guard, trying to get away from them. Then finally, I see the boat. Pablo's like, okay, we all have to get on this dinghy. That can only fit three people at a time. The water's choppy. You just have to get on it. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this. This is like, let's go back. And they were like, no, we've gone too far. It's been an hour and a half. My cousin's like, you're getting on this fucking little tiny dinghy boat. We're doing this. It's your birthday. And so they put me in a life vest.
Oh, my God.
I get on this dinghy. Pablo, sweaty ass, is like, so imagine a bench. There's me, my other friend, and then in the middle where the steering wheel is Pablo, uh-huh, stepping on both of our feet on both sides, driving this dinghy boat. He's sweaty as fuck, and he's also on the phone, seemingly to try to stop another crisis that he started.
He's on the phone talking about, yeah, just wait on the curb. We'll come pick you up. I'm on my way right now. Group number two.
Yo, I think you hit the nail on the head.
This is a nightmare. I would have laughed. I would have gotten my money back.
Well, listen. So the reason we talk about scams for our listeners is
Lacey
has this amazing podcast called Scam Goddess, where you talk about historical scams, you talk about iconic scams, and you have guests on to talk about scams that they have been a part of. Now, one would think if you study the subject of scamming so much, we can blame this on your assistant.
What,
right?
A yes, subtle drag.
It's the assistant. It's the assistant.
One would think.
It was not Lacey. One would assume.
I mean, I am one, and I am thinking, maybe, if you study scams all week long.
I say this on my show. I'm a scammer, and I'm a mark. Yes. I'm both. And sometimes, like, I knew when I heard pirate hat, I should just turn around and call the Ubers and, like, forfeit. I knew.
Pirates were the original scammers. And
right.
Thieves, you know what I mean? Wow. Why would you want to advertise like that?
I was intrigued. And so I was like, fuck it, let's do it. But I will say that when I got on the little dinghy boat to go to the main boat, and Pablo literally, like, my friend Edgar came with us, so there's three of us, and when we get to the main boat, Pablo threw rope at him. Like, just threw rope at him and was like, tie the boat up. And we were like, nigga, he ain't no sailor. Where did you... Why do you think that he can do... He just threw some rope at him. And I said, absolutely not. So I told my friends and I told the people who owned it. I was like, no one else is getting on this little dinghy boat. Either y'all pull this motherfucking boat up and let me off, or pull the boat up to the dock and let them on. But absolutely nothing in between. No one's going to die on my watch. So then they pull the boat up, and the owner's like, well, Pablo didn't tell me it was going to be more than 12 people. And I was like, Pablo didn't tell me a lot of things either. We're on the same page. Pablo is scamming us all.
Yes.
So then the boat owner pulls the boat up, and I swear to you, it was like smuggling. He was like, get on, get on, get on. He's like yelling from the top of the boat. He's like, get on, get on. And my cousin was like, no, the boat ain't tied to the dock.
You know what it probably was, is that boat owner doesn't own a dock at Marina Del Rey.
Right.
So he probably didn't want
you
to.
You have to pay
to get a spot there. So what he was doing was very illegal, being in like an area that he shouldn't have been in anyway.
That's
why they had the dinghy to the thing, because when we got on the boat, it was docked at Marina Del Rey. But it was like there was all these crazy rules about like you can't bring a ton of alcohol, you can't do a bunch of stuff.
Oh, you're blowing my mind.
Lisa, that's what,
you were scammed. You were middleman scammed.
Walk on a dock and then step onto a yacht.
That's what I'm used to. That's what we did in Miami. Every single yacht.
How many yachts have you been on, Miss Lacey?
Been on a lot of yachts. I have friends who own yachts. You just go to the yacht.
Okay, well, speaking of friends who own yachts, you have had quite the year, okay?
Yes.
When many other people were looking at doom and gloom in this pandemic, you were looking at glow up. You starred on season 2 of a Black Lady sketch show. You also star on the reboot. They call it a reboot, right, of iCarly? Which is on Paramount Plus. Your career like
exploded. It's their tentpole show
in this last year, and you've just like you've been skyrocketing. How has that been for you?
Well, thank you. It's been exactly what you described. It's twofolded. One, best year and a half I've probably ever had in my entire life. Also, two, worst year and a half I've also had in my entire life.
Yeah.
A lot of bad shit happened. And so it's weird to be like, woo, but also like, I don't know. I'm just happy to be alive because, child, I made it through the Hunger Games and right. Everybody ain't make it. You know? What was that thing that Rue was with the whistling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't whistle.
Why are we all holding our hands up?
Because that's what she does.
Oh, she does it. They do that like mocking.
Yeah, but why are we all doing it like somebody go see it?
That would be it if it was a song.
When they killed Lenny Kravitz in that movie?
Wait, when did Lenny die?
Lenny Kravitz?
Number 2.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. How did he die?
Spoiler alert from 10 years ago.
I don't believe in spoilers. Just stay off the internet until you watch it.
There you go. The Capitol soldiers murdered him.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Going up in the tube to the game.
She saw it happen. That was disrespectful.
Traumatic.
You can't kill Lenny Kravitz in any movie. He's too sexy to die. That's actually very rude.
When can we have Jennifer Lawrence back? Done hating her? Well, because she was overexposed for a while, and now she's not doing anything. I miss her. Anyway.
She probably wanted a break. I'm not mad at her.
She was getting so much hate for no reason. You know how that feels.
Because she got...
Wow.
Well, not because you did anything, just for no reason. Because no, you're on iCarly, and everybody is like saying some of the most racist stuff possible to you.
Yes, but
Jennifer Lawrence is a white woman, so
yeah, people, it's a little different.
I would say it's a little different.
I just mean hate in general, but yeah, her hate was, yeah, no, racism is definitely different than a white woman being overexposed
saying fucked up stuff.
Listen, racism,
you on your computer.
Oh no.
now give us your dissertation on racism, people. Right. We're all ears.
I believe
you're pretending to freeze. You believe the children are our future.
I believe that what I said was incorrect. Yes, but
people, are you freezing yourself or is your computer freezing?
My computer is freezing.
I can see you blinking, but the rest of your face is like frozen. What's going on?
She's like, Lacey received unwarranted, awful, racist attacks simply for getting an acting job. Where's Jennifer Lawrence at?
It was the other way around. But I mean, how have you been handling it? Like, what have you done for yourself to like not feel bad about it? Because it's like, I wouldn't be able to look at that shit every single day and be like, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, it was tough for a little bit. But the other beautiful thing is that racism is old. It's not new. It's not exciting. It's not fresh. No one is giving me hot new slurs and slangs. You know, it's just the same old regular, boring ass racism. And so after a while, you're just like, this all you got? Like, why is no one talking about how one of my eyebrows don't match the other because I tried to cut it when I was 8? Like, why are we not really, you know, actually trying to hurt me? But yeah, no, it was, I mean, I'm joking, but it was painful. But then, you know, after the fact, I realized that there's so many amazing, what I call the real fans of iCarly, who came out and were supportive and kind and fought off the trolls and reported a lot of things so that I didn't even have to see it. And, you know, there's a lot of real ones who love the show and I love them.
It's such an interesting, like, like, obviously, like you said, racism is old. It's not a new idea. And hate out in the world is not a new idea. But social media is very new. And so, I mean, relatively speaking to, like, the idea of spewing hate. And so, I don't know, like, I it's such a weird cycle of, like, you need social media in order to, like, put yourself out there to get into a position to be on a show at that level. You know, you sort of, like, it's part of the career to sort of, like, build your reputation and your personal brand. And then it's sort of, like, once you're exposed to millions of people, you're sort of like, let me turn this machine off because I don't need to hear from everybody out there. That's such a fascinating thing to me.
It is. It's like you have to find a balance. And I knew this is going to sound insane, but I always knew that this was like what I was going to do and that I was going to be famous and that I don't send nudes. I don't let people take photos of me in compromising positions. I've been this way my entire life because I knew. But I thought it would be like gradual. I thought it would be like, oh, and we're here. And instead, with iCarly, it was immediate and an onslaught of trauma instantly. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not what I had planned for. But, you know, I do like interacting with people who are fans of the work that I do or the shows that I'm on. And also seeing a lot of people feel seen by the work that I do, like seeing a dark-skinned black woman who's queer and she doesn't have to have a coming out party and no one fucking, you know, berates her or, you know, you don't have to see her go through trauma. I'm not playing a slave, you know, like them getting to see that. That's really dope and making those connections is dope. But I definitely think you have to have like a cutoff point for yourself. Like, I don't share certain things about my life online ever. Personal life, things that are going on, like, and that's what everyone has to remember is that some people's Instagrams and socials and Twitters are a highlight reel. Other people love to be messy and tell all their business, and I love those people. I'm like, yes, you better use Twitter me. Like your diary. You better use it like your diary. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, but I think
do you follow some so people just because they're messy? Oh.
Yes. Oh, twofold. So yes to both of you. Yes to protect myself, but also Meatball, yes, I follow some people because they are messy. Yes. I'm like, it's cringy sometimes because I'm like, damn, like you really going off, but I'm also like, what else?
I still absolutely follow Azealia Banks. I want to read her dissertation and listen to her Instagram stories podcast because I'm just fascinated by the way that she can put things together.
Digging up her old cat and boiling the bones. Oh, like, what's going on?
Freedom of religion. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a sleigh, baby.
And we're back!
Lacey, you meant your riff was so good?
Yes. Lacey, do you know the musical Wicked?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Have you seen it?
No.
And why?
I know. Because, like, I don't know. I just missed the wave. I also missed the Hamilton wave. Don't judge me.
Oh, no, you didn't miss anything. Hamilton was terrible.
Wow.
Hamilton.
Unique take. We also didn't much enjoy bad. The film In the Heights either.
In the Heights, the movie, also bad. Did you watch that?
I heard In the Heights was a little messy.
It was, okay, good.
They were like, there's only white Latinos in this area.
In the Heights.
All the black people disappeared.
They did.
What's a musical that you're like really into?
Ooh, what's the musical that I'm really into?
Cats?
I mean, I know that Cats is so terrible that it's good, and that we've all decided that it's so camp. But I love Dreamgirls.
Oh, Dreamgirls is good.
I just love a movie with a lot of strong, hot black women scream singing at you. Like, yes. Why not? So Dreamgirls good.
And amazing. I'll watch anything that Beyonce's in because I am from Houston, and you know we have to stand.
I love you, Houston.
I love you, Houston. You're from Texas too, right?
I am from Texas as well. And just like Beyonce, I am from Texas.
So did you live in other places before LA or did you move from Texas right to LA to like pursue acting and comedy?
Nah, so my parents made me go to college.
Oh no.
I wanted to just move to LA and be a young hoe and get into TV immediately, but my parents were like, we all go to college. That's what we do here. Okay. So I got a scholarship. I went to Pittsburgh. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. And then I spent 2 years in New York City, and I back kicked a guy down some subway stairs after he, got way too into my personal space and said some rude ass shit to me. When he passed me on the stairs, he was going down, I was going up, and something in my spirit, like, donkey kicked him back down the stairs. And then I ran because I was like, what if this man tries to fight me? What did I just do? And then I realized I needed to move out of New York because New York City made me aggressive.
Because of the attempted murder or just New York is a mess?
I was like, was that man a police officer? Because that's why Meatball left.
Yes, I did assault an officer in New York, so I had to get out of there.
Yeah, then it's time to move.
And did you, because you, okay, so I first learned about you when I was, we've talked about UCB a lot on this podcast because I, came to LA just a handful of years ago, 5 years ago, and started taking classes there. And I was like older than everyone and sort of like was rolling my eyes at the curriculum, whatever. So we've talked about that a little bit on the show and we've had some, you know, UCB people. But when I was taking classes, I saw you in shows all the time. And when I was trying to like form a team outside of class, your name came up as like, oh my God, do you think maybe we could approach Lacey as like possibly coaching? Like that would be so incredible if she could.
Oh coach. Yeah, that would have been good.
I guess this was 2 years ago or whatever. And so I've seen you perform and you are just like so amazing on an improv stage. Is that like, did you like learn about UCB in New York? Did you find it in LA? Like what drew you to that scene of improv?
I got really lucky. Like I met a guy who was actually a friend of a friend from church and he was so sweet and willing to sit down with me and have coffee. And he was like, here's how you do acting. You already went to college. Do you want to go to grad school? Yale, Rutgers, Juilliard. Like, do you want to do that route? Do you want to go start performing in live theater and get your actor's equity card and do it through regional theater? Do you want to do stand up? Do you want to go to an improv theater like UCB, Second City, IO? Like, he taught me all the avenues. Because basically, when you get into entertainment, you're just throwing a lot of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. Nobody knows how
absolutely.
How the hell does anybody become a voice actor? I have friends who are professional voice actors, and I will ask them, I'm like, look, bitch, I don't even need this information for myself, but how did you do it? And they're always like, so, you know, you go down an alley, you knock on this brick wall. You know, it's like nobody can tell you how they did it.
Well, that's how I feel about writers whenever I'm like talking to them and they're like, yeah, I'm writing on this show. And I'm like, how did you get that job? And they're like, oh, this person suggested me. And I was like, okay, but why? Like, what were you doing? You've never written before.
A man came out of the shadows.
Yeah, and I was like, all of a sudden you're just on a show. Okay, sounds great. Lucky you.
Right. So I did stand up, and stand up was like I still do stand up, but at the time I was like 21, a hoochie. I'm still a hoochie. And there was a lot of men who were just bitter and thirsty. I was like, so then I pivoted to improv, and that felt like church camp. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. And in New York, it was like, I love taking classes there because the New York teachers really, like, I come from a stand-up background, and sometimes in improv, I would be, like, inserting stand-up jokes into scenes, and a man dragged me my best improv teachers were from New York, because when I tell you they would gather you, like, gather you so
they
quick.
Snatch you like a ponytail.
Well, they have that good improv memory. So you could do like 30 minutes of classwork, and then they'll sit down there like, let's talk about that. Lacey, when you came on and you said this exact sentence, they repeat it, and then they break down why it was completely wrong, leading, selfish, self-serving, and you're like, how the fuck
here's
do you
fucked up.
Right. And then at the end of class, they always go like, well, you know, there are no rules. Nothing is right or wrong. And it's like, well, you just told me how wrong
I was. You just told me I was wrong. But they got me together. They really, and they made me a better listener. Like improv, that's what I love about improv the most, is like, it makes you a fantastic listener. Like now, like I can remember things, like my mind's like a steel fucking trap. Like people say things, I know how to capitalize off of it. I fucking love it. So I did it. I learned it in New York, but then I was like, I gotta move to LA, and I was so happy I did. It was so fun.
And so during 2020, like in that moment when everything was shut down, there was like a lot of reckoning, because I mean the improv community in general is like a white male community, and so now there is something at UCB. UCB is like not even open right now, right?
No, it's not. I do a lot of work with UCB and like trying to, you know, fix a lot of problems, which, wow, you know, being black, just so used to getting roped into free labor.
I was gonna ask,
it happened again. I didn't even get on a boat this time. How did I get here?
Project Rethink, which is an initiative to combat the systemic racism at UCB. But is that a paid job? Like,
and how are we combating it?
Yeah.
So one, you know, Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, like, you know, Ian Roberts, they're in WASH. They're very committed to actually paying people. They were like, do y'all want this job? Like, we'll actually pay you to do this. And we was like, we employed, bro. We just here to try to help the future.
Yeah.
But also, like, what we were doing was I ran a town hall in June. You know, June was the month that white people were like, racism? Oh my goodness. This has been happening the whole time since we stole y'all niggas and brought y'all over here and slaved y'all and then freed y'all, but then wouldn't give y'all rights. Like,
yeah.
But June 2021 is when people were like, oh, racism.
I completely agree. I refer to June 2021 was when everyone realized that they were racist. I feel like white people didn't even realize what was going on until then.
Our mirrors started to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're like, oh, do I treat people differently?
Well, you know what? White people also had a lot of free time on their hands. And I think that's when they discovered that, like,
we finished making sourdough bread and then started to look at the world and said, I've been ignorant to the systemic racism that's been happening.
It's everywhere. They're gerrymandering the prisons with the blacks and browns to Republican districts to use their bodies that can't vote as numbers and political gain. Like, that's a real thing. Like, I think that white people had time to, like, look around and be like, oh, oops.
It's crazy. I mean, we talked about it. We talk about it a lot on this podcast, but just like everything goes back to racism. Just like the way everything works in this world or in America.
Tipping
at least,
in restaurants is from slavery after Reconstruction, when white folks had to start hiring black people, hiring them. They wouldn't pay them and then would ask the people in the restaurants to tip, and that would be their wage. And that is where tipping comes from to this day.
Oh, my God.
It all goes back.
It all goes back to racism.
That's why they don't tip in other countries.
Right. They were like, what is this? The ghetto.
Yeah, they're like,
we just pay our employees. You going to go to J. Crew and tip because they folded your sweater? What's happening?
Exactly. And then, well, and that also goes back to like fucking colonizer ideals of like, this is my little table for these 45 minutes and I am the king and I will decide how much money I give you based on how well you work for me.
Like, I've known people who were like, I just look at my water glass, and if my water glass gets to half full, then there goes half of your tip. Like, people are psychos about power and tipping.
That's
I tip
much.
Based off of service. I'm like, just tip 20%. That's what we
do. Sometimes I do 21 if it seems like they're struggling.
Why not? What, 21?
Or 25. 21. Sorry, 25. 25.
1%. Okay.
Yeah, baby,
1%.
I give them that 1% extra because I know. They know. No, I give them 25 if it's like super busy and I've been kind of demanding. Because sometimes I ask for a lot of water or things.
Lacey, I heard on your podcast you were telling a story and you were like, and I tipped 30% because I knew I had to complain and I wouldn't feel right.
That's what I do.
The scam massage. Yeah.
Which I just love that. You're like, listen, I need to talk shit about this person, but I'm not going to fuck with their rent. So here's 30%. And now I'm good to go off.
Yes, because the backstory of that was that happened during the racism stuff of iCarly. And my good Judy Laura Chin was like, I'm going to take you get massages. She had her assistant. We got to really check our assistants. Her assistant booked us massage at this place. And it was a cute place. And for some reason, she got a very normal massage. And I got a very strange
abnormal
massage.
The story is great. It's on the episode with Naomi McPerrigan. It's so hilarious. You go to great
love Naomi
about it. The massage sounds very uncomfortable and awful. At the end, Lisa goes, oh well, I tipped him 30% and I paid for it even though it was supposed to be a treat for me because I knew I had to complain.
I knew I was gonna be pissed and I couldn't complain if she paid, so then I was like, she was mad I paid, and then I was like, now let me tell you what the fuck happened to me.
Oh my God, I love that. So, listen, I want to know a little bit about dating for you.
Oh, yeah. How is that now?
Because you've had a whirlwind year and a half, and I'm sure...
We've been locked up.
We've been locked up. Did you say locked up?
Yeah, and they won't let us out.
They won't let us out because of the COVID.
They won't let me out.
And I'm sure now that you're in LA, you know, your social currency and profile has risen. So
yeah,
I'm sure
I see your face on buses and billboards all over the city.
A lot more fuck thoughts in the DMs. Is that what's going on? What's your dating experience like?
No, apparently I am just a terrifying human being. I've never had much luck dating. I'm a dark-skinned black woman in Los Angeles, which, like, 82% of black marriages are between two black people. But in Los Angeles, I'll say this. I'll meet certain people, like, I'll meet black men and be like, oh, I wonder if they'd like black women. Like, I'll think that, because that is how date colorism is in Los Angeles. It's really bad. And then I talked to one of my friends, actually, this weekend about dating, and he was like, why are you not treating dating like everything else in your life? You step into rooms and you're like, I belong here. I deserve things. Why are you wondering if someone's going to like you? It doesn't matter if you have dark skin. It doesn't matter if they're prejudiced. They're going to fucking love you because it's you. And so I accepted that. And then as soon as that happened, I was on a flight back from Chicago yesterday night. I sat next to this black man in first class. He looks at me, and I think I'd pull my mask down to like drink a little bit of water or something. And he was like, you are very pretty. And he was like, I'm not normally attracted to dark-skinned women.
Oh,
you are so pretty.
No.
Yeah, you see how that flipped real quick? But instead of being, like, sad about this shit, I don't know, I felt so empowered. I was like, first of all, I'm your mother. Because he was a dark-skinned black man. I said, first of all, I'm your mother. I made you. You wouldn't be here without me. I made you. Yeah. And then we got along. He, like, hoisted my luggage up for me. He was fixing my little TV. He was kikiing with me the whole time, my good Judy. And then at the end of the flight, and I could tell, like, he really started to really like me, I showed him a tweet that I tweeted at the beginning of the flight about him.
What did it say?
Oh, damn, I wish I had my phone next to me. But it was like, wait, Meatball, one of y'all could just go on Twitter right now and go to my page. Right,
you do it.
Okay.
But I was like, I am such a psycho. I really engaged with this man, like, got him on my side, had him really like me just to be like, don't do that shit again.
Okay, 17 hours ago, this dark-skinned black man in first class just told me I was very pretty. And that he isn't normally attracted to dark-skinned women. I'm going to jump off the planet now. Also, I'm way hotter than him.
And
he has two phones. He a criminal, so I... But I'm a better one. Ah, he's a criminal. He has two phones.
Oh,
what
my
a roller
God.
Coaster of a tweet that is. Yeah, someone commented.
It was a gift. It was a gift, but I fully understand everything about him now.
Somebody
Wait,
was like,
so you showed it to him?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He laughed, but he also looked like, damn. Like
I she think had four hot takes and one tweet about me.
I also, like, pulled up on the plane a Black Lady sketch show because it was on the plane.
You're
and
like,
I was
I'm
like,
watch myself on TV.
I wasn't going to watch me, but I pulled it up for him and I said, look, that's me. And I pulled out my mask. I said, that's me. Like, you just assume that I have no power. I'm like, I'm your fucking queen. Like,
oh my God. What a power move.
I love that.
I love it.
Give you his number or something at the end?
So I realized that if I actually want his number, which I kind of low-key think I could marry that man after I broke his spirit. Because I still really liked him, and he was a criminal. He had a lot of cash. I was like, I like this. I like what's going on. I like that. And I think that he walked me all the way out from the plane to where my Uber was picking me up, like, and lingered. And then I realized that because I showed him that tweet, I had broken his confidence about asking me for my number.
Good.
But I had to. Like, he fucked it up in the beginning. And I'm learning that, like, God protects you from things that aren't supposed to be in your life. And if someone's not worthy of you and they're scared to ask you for something, they're intimidated, they're not the right person. Unfortunately, a lot of people are intimidated by me, so I'm alone.
Yeah,
well,
I feel like
cell phone man, if you are listening to this episode of Sloppy Seconds.
He definitely is, 100%.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He's a big fan.
DM Lacey on Twitter. Just respond to that wonderful tweet she wrote about you.
What's crazy is that the ball is truly in his court because he knows who you are now. Like, all he had would have to do was just, like, go check that show and, like, find your name or look at that tweet. So maybe you might get
maybe
a little message being like,
the beginning
hey.
Of another kind of roller coaster, a wild loved one.
Maybe.
Check your message request.
He also had a weird name for a black person. Like, my name's Lacey. I've met one black Lacey in my life. And
was
I've
it Dylan?
No, I still follow that Lacey on Instagram because I was like, we're the black Laceys. And then I met two. Now I know two. I follow two Laceys who are black on Instagram. One of them directed episodes of Black Lacey Sketch Show.
Lacey Sketch Show?
Right. And you know what was weird? When the director and you have the same name, which is obviously something I've never experienced, like, I had to take on a different name.
Yeah.
Because people would be like, Lacey, we need to check this. And I'd be like, huh? I don't know that. And I started realizing, like, I was the one without information. So if people said Lacey, they didn't mean me, because why would I know anything? But his name is
Oh.
Oh. No.
Isn't that crazy? A black man named
I know a black man named
who lives in L.A.?
Uh-huh.
Wait, pull up a picture. Is he dark-skinned?
Uh-huh.
Is he very forward with dark-skinned women?
Mouth fuck. Was this guy bi, maybe?
Okay, you know what's crazy? I asked him if he was gay.
Dipper, pull
say?
Up a picture. Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, he was watching
picture. We got to bleep everyone's name.
Yeah, we do.
are back.
We're back.
Time for
Uptalk. Now is the time. Oh, yeah, you go. Go ahead. You're better at explaining it because, you know, you complain when I explain it.
Well, because you always give people an out right
away.
Okay. Now's the time when we
show me how to do it.
A wild and crazy and embarrassing sex story from our past, present, or not future, because we don't know yet.
Well, maybe
I wanted to tell you a story. I put this in the notes, and maybe this'll trigger something, because I did just listen to that episode of your podcast where you were talking about the massage. Now, as a gay man, I get massages and I ask them, you know, like I get massages from people who do therapeutic, but it also skews into erotic and sensual. And that is agreed upon before we start. So sometimes all it is a happy ending. Other times, depending on chemistry, it leads to more.
Well,
this is almost every gay massage.
Yeah, I mean, you can seek them out. If you go to
gay massages? I've never heard about this before.
If you go to an establishment, you know, they can't really do that. But a lot of people, you know,
right, so massage envy ain't doing gay massages.
Correct.
Okay.
But there are, like, you can find, you go online, you find people who do it. And a lot of them are, like, certified. They've been doing it for decades. They do the therapeutic. But they also,
They give you a little tug tug. They give you a little huck.
You'll
huck,
be nude. You can do a little mutual.
They'll be
touching.
Nude.
Yeah.
I get booty naked when I get massages, but I've never had a massage therapist come in and it was also booty naked.
Like, it's so fun. Sometimes they plie their balls onto your elbow while you're like laying. You know what I mean?
When you're like laying on your front and your arms are up there, they'll just like put their dick into your hand while they're like doing your back.
I'm closing the computer now.
No, but the thing is,
Lazy has a real job.
It's all agreed upon ahead of time, right? It's all this conversation of like,
yeah. So it's not an issue of consent, and I appreciate that. I'm just saying, like, being booty naked, I just can't imagine. Like, I walk in and I'm booty naked and you booty naked. Like, why are we both booty naked? Like,
because it's an erotic massage.
So this leads into an embarrassing sexual experience that you had, Victor?
It was a wild and crazy one.
Oh, just a wild one. Okay.
So he was using multiple different oils on me. Like, he was using the massage oil, and then all of a sudden this like hot oil would appear, like a hot lotion. And I was like, oh, like that's new and different. And he was doing it on my back and doing it on my back. And then he was like, okay, time to flip over. He's doing my limbs, whatever. You could tell, you know, he's like rubbing his hard dick up against me. I'm like, okay, like this is, we're going there. And then there was like a pause, and you know, I'm laying on my back and he's put like a little towel over my eyes.
Oh, so it's still professional now, because they do give you the little eye cover when you flip.
Oh,
when you
flip over. It's completely, and there's like aromatherapy, and there's doing stretching and like take deep breaths and do like muscle release. Like it's a full combination experience, right? So they're doing like all the reflexology, the muscle, the stretching, all that stuff. And then there was like a pause, and I felt him get on the table. Now, he had gotten on the table previously.
Now, that's not weird, because I had a massage with the Four Seasons, and sis definitely got on the table and put her knees and her full body on my back. And it was fantastic.
What?
Yeah.
That
I would have freaked out.
That happened when I was on my front. So when I flipped over, I assumed that he was sort of like, you know, I'm on my front. I assumed like, oh, he's going to do some other kind of stretch. But it had gotten very sexual already at this point. Like, there was some mutual touching, whatever. So then I feel a little bit of that hot lotion sort of like drip onto my stomach. And then he rips the towel off my face and I look up. He is fully squatting over me. And he takes the lotion and he squirts really hard. So much that this hot lotion like bounces off of my body. And he starts rubbing it.
He went full Magic Mike.
Yes.
He went full
he was
Magic
putting
Mike.
On a show, like sitting on top of me, rubbing this hot lotion. It was such a wild experience. It felt good. Hot lotion feels very nice.
Yeah, I do love a warm lotion.
Never, it felt like, it did feel like Magic Mike. Like, the drama of it, like, he had the squirt bottle. He could have just put some in his hands and, like, applied it.
But he was like, he ripped the towel off your face and was like, ew, like, it's happening.
You know how there's a flourish when you're pouring wine and you, like, finish with the bottle? He sort of, like, did that with the look.
No!
He really put on a show, and I was like, well. And also, you know what I immediately
thought? So you
thought?
Tipped him 30%?
You earned your tip.
Yes! Also, Big Dipper, you just had a very service industry conversation with me where you said flourishing wine, and we both were like, yeah, I know exactly what that means. It's like where you pour it, and then you twist the end.
You twist it up so it doesn't drip.
Pull it up.
Yes.
Yes. I waited tables for 6 years. I used to be Paul McCartney's personal Hampton server. Like,
what?
That's
so crazy.
I waited on Bon Jovi, Bono. The funny thing was, Bon Jovi and Bono came to the Hamptons together with Paul one time. And,
Paul.
That's a power table.
And so, but the first thing that I thought was, it was right when Bono had that album put on everyone's iPhone. Oof. And I was like, I want to ask him, how do I get this shit off my phone? And I still have it on my phone to this day. And now he done tricked me. I like, breaking wave. I'm like, every breaking wave.
Because
it would just come on and I couldn't stop it.
No.
And so I was like, I love this album now. You tricked me.
They got us good. They got us good.
And the last thing Paul McCartney said to me when the season was ending, he came up to me and he was like, you know, Lacey, you're really going to rise amongst the servers. Like, you're really going to rise amongst the ranks. Like, you're so talented. And I looked at him and I said, Paul, I don't want to be no goddamn server for the rest of my life.
You said, catch me on your Paramount Plus app. Yeah. That's where you'll see me.
Listen, it ain't nothing wrong with working in service, because if you get a good service job, you can make $100,000 a year more than
that.
Like, because those people are geniuses. All the information they know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any, like, summer, like, service job hookups? Because I bet summertime waiting tables, like, that whole
in
scene
the Hamptons,
is probably wild.
Though?
So I'm trying to decide which story I'm going to tell y'all. Not that one. That was too messy. I'll tell you this one. It's messy, but in a different way.
Good, because Carly is still here listening.
Yes. My PR people are probably like,
don't worry.
Bitch,
this is
shut
an adult,
up. This is a mess.
This is fine.
Audience.
But they're like, bitch, you was just over here talking about racism like you was goddamn Harriet Tubman, and now you on here talking about throwing pussy. What's going on?
We are multifaceted individuals.
Yeah, we all have different talents.
But so I decided, I was like, I'm going to have a one-night stand. This is like my early 20s. Mm-hmm. I met this guy. I've been approached for a lot of threesomes, and I regret not doing them. Like, I was just, sometimes it's just like vibes. Like, one time, it was this nice hotel. I was bartending, and the man was wearing a fedora. And I was like, I can't have sex with somebody who's wearing a fedora. Like, I can't do this. But this one, I met him, and we didn't actually end up having sex. So sorry. That's the boring part.
That's fine.
We got to the hotel room. We were making out. And then I was like, do you have condoms? Because, like, I don't play that shit. I was like, and so he was like, no, I don't. And I was like, okay, well, then go to the store. Goodbye. Then I realized, because this is impromptu, that I hadn't waxed. And for me, my comfort level is like baby smooth little peach coochie coochie.
Okay.
So I go into his bathroom. I take a shower.
Wow.
And then I used his face razor on my vagina.
Yes!
You could have gotten an infection.
It wasn't a scrapey razor. It was an electric razor. It was like
you're
a trimmer.
Fine.
So it's like for his beard. And I just used it on my vagina.
It's wild that he just let you sit in his house while he went to the store.
It's a hotel.
Oh, it was a hotel.
And so then I was like, bro, like, I was trying to hide the clippings because it was a lot.
Not it was a lot.
I was trying to hide him. When he came back, I was like blowing his hair. I was like trying to blow the hair out because it's like, obviously this hair is way too long. Like when you pick your razor up.
Yeah.
You know the same from your beard.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So what, did he not bring condoms back?
He did bring condoms back. He had a aggressively large penis, and I looked at it and I was like, no. And he was like, what did you expect? Like, da da da. And I was like, honey, we're not gonna get married. You want me to just destroy my shit?
You're like, this is freshly shaved. I'm not going to destroy it now.
Yeah, this is brand new, baby. I don't need all that.
It was too big to be fun. Sometimes you see it and you're like, yes. Ooh, big and perfect. And sometimes you see it and you're like, oh, ow, and no. Yeah. And I was like, ow, no. So I just ended up leaving. But I don't know if he knows I ever used his razor on my box.
I love
box,
that.
Well, I hope he does.
Yeah, sometimes they're so big, all you want to do is just sort of like, touch
hold
it
and be slap like, it around.
How does this work?
Put like, your arm up against it, like right. Measure it from elbow to wrist.
You must be completely lightheaded anytime you get aroused.
Because all
this is
I just want to get some pictures with it. Well, have you seen the ones that are so big that they can't even get all the way hard? Because like they will pass out.
Uh-huh.
Those poor men.
And they got to tie it on up with the cock ring. Wait.
We need to start do we start a walk? Like a 5K for these men? How can we help?
Let's help these men get this blood flow going.
And they all get to ride like scooters because it's hard to walk with such big dicks.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Well, look at that. Here
that's
we are.
So wonderful.
We made it to the end.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Lacey.
Thank you for having me.
I hope one day we skate again.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I told y'all saw the group chat. We're all in the group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we're going to.
I hope we go to that one place. I
we
don't want
to
say what it is.
That one place.
Oh, when? And, you know?
Well, I'm getting dates, and then we're going to figure out, like, a party bus situation, and we're all going to go.
See?
Ooh.
Yeah, but don't have Pablo drive the party bus.
He'll be 2 hours late and covered in sweat.
That's the thing. Maybe delegate away from the assistant for this organization. The party bus is driven by a pirate. Is a pirate
driving? Oh, no.
I will not have
pirate.
A pirate take us. I will not get on the phone like, Pablo, you got your disco boots on? You got your bell bottom?
You're like, here's the thing. Everyone meet us on the
curb. And your pirate hat?
We'll scoop you up. We're like,
everyone, please wear white. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. You can send us an email at SloppySecondsPod@gmail.com. Or you could call with your fuck talk story to 213-536-9180. You can follow me and Dipper on Instagram at Big Dipper Jelly and Spiciest Meatball on Instagram or Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
And check out Lacey's podcast, Scam Goddess, which you can get anywhere you get podcasts. And don't you have also a bonus, like an extra show on the Stitcher Premium?
Yeah, Confessions, where we just read listener letters where they snitch on their friends and family.
Ooh, that one sounds messy. So jump behind the paywall and get that. And make sure you check out season 2 of A Black Lady Sketch Show starring Lacey Mosley and iCarly
on Paramount Plus.
Look at you doing big things. How incredible.
Thank you. You guys
congratulations.
So what a good time.
Yay.
Okay. Yay. Doodle-a-doot-doot forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.